The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health for Ulster County. With me today is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Hi, Vin, how are you?
I'm well, Dr. Smith. Good morning, and it's great to have you back again. I know that you were away for almost 2 years with COVID-related matters, and we were all very busy with that, so nice to have you back. Dr. Smith, today we're going to be talking with the folks from Jewish Family Services of Ulster County. They have a number of resources and programs for older adults, and they also engage in elder abuse issues and services, and a very, very interesting topic. And our guests are Jason Farina. Jason is coordinator of yard and home maintenance program at Jewish Family Services, and he has a wide range of expertise and experiences from being in English teacher and university lecturer, teaching in Israel, Ethiopia, Vietnam, and here in New York. And he also has a love of history. He's a gardener, a landscaper, and has a deep interest in serving the community. We also have Nicholas Bona. Nicholas is currently the coordinator of the Home Base Program for Jewish Family Services. And that's an initiative that provides professional, supportive at-home counseling. Nicholas was a student clinician for Jewish Family Services. He's a native of the Hudson Valley area. And he is in the second year in earning his Master of Social Work at the University of Albany. So Nicholas and Jason, welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you, Vincent and Dr. Smith.
Oh, so, glad to have you join us.
So either Nicholas or Jason, you can both answer or one. Can you give our listeners a little bit of a background on Jewish Family Services itself as an organization? How it got started, who it serves, and what its mission is?
Started in 2001 by our now board members. They had come together and they felt there was a need for more resources and services for older adults in Ulster County.
And is that its primary focus? So it's your Jewish Family Services is really focused on the older adult population?
Yes, that's our main focus on older adults, 60 and up throughout Ulster County.
Mm-hmm. Give us, if you would, an overview of the needs of older adults that you serve as you see them, and what programs and resources that Jewish Family Services of Ulster County provides. Can you give us an overview of that?
So I'd like to start by saying that JFS provides in-home social work services for older adults of all faiths in the community who could not otherwise access more traditional office-based mental health services. A core mission of JFS is to keep aging adults living healthy and independent across the aging continuum. So what exactly does this look like? Mentioned earlier, our in-home counseling and assessment that we offer for seniors within their home. They don't have to come into the office for those services. Our neighbor-to-neighbor program, which is a collaboration with the Office of the Aging that matches seniors needing transportation to medical appointments with local volunteers from their area. We have a grocery shopping assistance program. We provide compassionate phone calls to our seniors, a myriad of support groups that we facilitate. Jason, I guess you would probably want to talk about the yard maintenance program. You have a little more expertise on that.
Sure. So we just won a grant for our yard and home maintenance program. So we're really, really excited. This is a program that provides no cost services for older adults in Ulster County to help them live in their homes more comfortably and more independently. We're mostly focused on outdoor services for now. So for example, helping cutting grass, weed whacking, yard cleanup, things like this. Mm-hmm. We're really excited. It's open for any older adults in Ulster County who are financially and physically unable to complete the task themselves.
I think that's huge and probably underestimated in terms of the value that connecting with gardening can have to serve as a social support for folks. In fact, our local library is starting a program where they, and it's a long waiting list, have an area that has been sort of raked out, I think with the support of the Bruderhof community, but, you know, individuals have a plot by so many feet by so many feet where they can plant flowers or vegetables or whatnot. And every day I go by there and I do see people there. They're sort of, you know, tending to their garden plot, as it were. I do know that over in the UK, for instance, they have an allotment program where they do something similar on a much bigger scale. But that, of course, is for folks who have the ability to have transportation and to go to these sites. But going to the home to prepare that garden and have folks be able to enjoy it and, you know, sort of speak to the body and soul type of thing, I think is really an important component of community and how we can appreciate, you know, staying in place and enjoying our own space in this sort of fashion. So I think it sounds like a terrific program.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, no, we've made quite a few home visits as is over the last few months. And we're hoping now with this new grant that we can really expand the program and be much more available. So we're very excited.
You know, these aging in places, the issue of aging in place or the importance of it cannot be overestimated, rather. You know, you look at the housing, I'm very deeply involved in the housing, addressing the housing crisis in Ulster County. And what we find in the community where I live, which is Marbletown, that, you know, seniors are in a kind of a catch-22 where they can't afford to stay in their homes because of, you know, ever increasing maintenance costs and taxes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then, but they can't afford to go because there's no place to go. So, you know, that focus, anything that can be done to help seniors, you know, to maintain their homes and defray some of those costs is really terrific. We had the executive director from Rebuilding Dutchess together, where they have a similar program where they help seniors and veterans, low-income families with routine maintenance costs, maintenance repairs rather, including yard work. So it's a very, very important program. In your notes, there were quite a few notes here about your elder abuse services. Let's start, if you would, by educating our listeners a little bit, and me included, on what elder abuse is and why it's such an urgent and important issue right now.
Sure. So elder abuse can mean lots of different things. It can mean physical abuse, financial abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse of an older adult. And one thing that's becoming even more and more common and even more talked about is financial exploitation, right? The financial abuse that you have a lot of people out there who are targeting older adults specifically, especially with COVID, because you have a lot more desperate people who are out of opportunities, who are looking for easy targets, looking for vulnerable people. And unfortunately, yeah, older adults are a target. They might not be as tech savvy, and they might be more isolated. They might not know as many people or have such a big social network. So they're going to be more vulnerable to people mm-hmm. wanting to take advantage of them.
And how does that financial abuse manifest? I mean, what how does it take shape?
So there's two main ways. So number one is scams, unfortunately, for example, like online scams or phone scams, things like this, where they try to trick you and convince you to give the important information, such as a social security number or a bank account number or a credit card information. That's the one way. The second way is if it's with a trusted person. Could be a family member a lot of times, for example, a son or daughter or a grandson or daughter or granddaughter. It could be a neighbor or a new friend in parentheses. That's the thing. It's someone that the older adult actually knows and even trusts.
And so you mentioned it was exacerbated by COVID. Is that because of isolation of seniors and not being able to talk to maybe trusted advisors on the outside world?
Yes, yes, exactly. I think that it's because, number one, like I said, you you have a lot more scammers out there who are much more desperate and who are much bolder in trying to target potential victims. But then also, just like you said, we have a lot more older adults out there who are more isolated, who are more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure this there are a lot of dimensions to this problem, and we'd like to hear about some of the interventions or solutions, so to speak, that you provide to help older adults avoid those scams, and also what you do proactively. But first, we're going to take a very short break, and we'll be back after these words. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Heart attacks won't wait. If you ever have symptoms of a heart attack, you need to get to the nearest emergency department, preferably one with the technology and expertise to stop a heart attack in its tracks. Health Alliance Hospital, right here on Broadway in Kingston, has expanded cardiac services, including catheterization and electrophysiology. Now, for many people, Health Alliance in Kingston is the closest option to find treatment of clogged arteries, irregular heartbeats, and to limit damage from a heart attack already in process. For the first time, we have these advanced heart health services based right here in Ulster County. This expansion is part of a larger plan to bring advanced cardiac services to Ulster County and the surrounding communities. If you have heart attack symptoms, do not wait. Call 911 and get to the closest emergency department. At Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston, we are ready to see you now. That's Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston. WMC Health. Advancing care here.
This is a public service announcement from the New York State Smokers Quit Line. For a limited time and while supplies last, we are offering up to 3 months of nicotine gum free for those looking to quit smoking or vaping. Shipping is included. Most will qualify for the offer. Nicotine gum works by eliminating short-term nicotine cravings and is proven to increase the chances of successful quitting. The gum can also be used in combination with the nicotine patch for those with higher nicotine dependence. The New York State Smokers Quit Line also offers coaching and quit plan development with a trained specialist to further increase your chances for success. Tell your family and friends who smoke or vape to call the New York State Smokers Quit Line at 1-866-NY-QUITS or visit nysmokefree.com today to get up to 3 months of nicotine gum free while supplies last. That's 1-866-697-8487. Or visit nysmokefree.com.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guests today are Nicholas Bona, coordinator of the home-based program at JFS, and Jason Farina, coordinator of the Yard and Home Maintenance Program at JFS, or Jewish Family Services of Ulster County. Before the break, we spoke about how the Jewish Family Services brings services to the home to support individuals who are aging in place and attempting to manage their needs from the home. Could you speak a little bit more about how you bring information to these individuals or actual counseling services and inform them of what is available to them in the community, for instance, Office for the Aging, Home Delivery Program, et cetera? Can you just speak a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So this idea of aging in place and keeping, you know, our older adults living healthy and independent as long as possible. One of the benefits of providing in-home counseling is that our providers actually get a sense of the environment that our clients are actually in. And part of our assessments, I think, are looking at things as simple as safety hazards and loose rugs and potential hazards that a senior could face living independently. Vital necessities, getting prescriptions, getting groceries, those are those are our programs that we offer to keep that lifeline open, to get older adults what they need. The neighbor to neighbor program, which I mentioned earlier, which is a collaboration with the Office of Aging, making sure that people are able to get to medical appointments. Compassionate phone calls. And that's something that the agency frequently has a large number of interns from graduate programs in the area, Albany, Marist, Columbia. Those have been schools in the last couple of years that have hosted interns. And the idea of loneliness and isolation and being able to combat that by visiting people in their homes, and then also having a lifeline with, once a week, knowing that that there's going to be for an hour someone to talk to, hopefully combat some of this loneliness and isolation that COVID has only exacerbated.
That's wonderful information. And when you said having interns from, say, social work programs, et cetera, be able to work with you to have the direct field experience, I think is so important. Unfortunately, we're in an age where direct support, employment, and folks entering those professions is not as robust as it potentially was or could be, and yet the importance is just so huge. So being able to support those sorts of educational academic programs with that kind of field work, with your guidance, I think is so important to making sure that we contribute to training the workforce of the future, who will, really we need so desperately to work with us in the community to support our aging population.
Absolutely.
And just out of curiosity, you have a number of different programs, all of which sound terrific. How is your staffing organized in terms of the size of your staff and also areas of responsibility? I mean, is it organized around each program or service area, or does everybody kind of pitch in everywhere? How does that work?
I was going to say, with the home-based program, I mean, we have licensed clinical social workers that do professional psychotherapy. They're licensed in New York. Not every older adult needs that level of care, and that's where I think the intern population is able to provide. For example, the compassionate phone calls that I was speaking of. For a lot of people, a little bit of empathy and active listening go a really long way. And with an intern population too, there are certain initiatives like the neighbor to neighbor, as JFS actually screens the drivers for OFA, and the grocery shopping assistance programs that interns are really able to participate in and make a direct and immediate impact within the local community. Just with the student clinician hat on, where they're at, they're able to meet a lot of the needs that are in the community.
You mentioned earlier that the services are free to any adult from any denomination, any faith or what have you, in Ulster County. How is that always the case that it's free, or is it a combination of insurance or an ability to pay? And how is Jewish Family Services funded overall to make all of this work?
Sure. So with our in-home counseling and assessment, I mean, we accept a myriad of insurances, including Medicare and Medicaid. So professional services, those are provided. I think we can pretty much meet anyone where they're at with accepting literally every coverage that's available. And again, having a student clinician population, that's a way that the agency can have more of an impact, because as interns, we're not paid.
Yeah.
but we're paid richly in experience and supervision and the like. I know that Jason for the yard work program, that Jason is the yard and home maintenance service program. Jason could probably speak about grant writing a little bit.
So as a nonprofit, we are heavily dependent on grants and also donations as well. and lastly, volunteers too, to help out with all of our different programs. So if that's something that anyone's interested in, you can definitely reach out to us. You know, we need volunteers for the Yard Home Maintenance Program, volunteer drivers to help out with the Neighbor to Neighbor program. Yeah, and we could, and for any interest, we could probably find some sort of volunteer opportunity.
Do you engage, you know, young people like teens in the community to kind of enhance those intergenerational connections? And, you know, I think that's
funny you mentioned that, because for our Yard Home Maintenance Program, we're in the process of hiring young adults to actually help out with the services. So we're looking for people between the ages of like 16 and 22 to help, you know, with the yard cleanup and grass cutting and weed whacking. Because the thing is, we want to pay them, you know, it's a job. So we have volunteer opportunities, but we also have job opportunities, but we want to put the money in their pockets, into young people's pockets, at the same time that we're helping older adults as well.
And I think the social association inherent in that too, to have, you know, a lot of seniors whose own children have left the nest and moved on to their own lives, I'm sure having a connection with a young person is nice for them.
Yes, absolutely. So when we go to the house to do our home visit, not only are we, you know, providing the service and help straighten up the yard, but it's an experience. You know, we're coming to socialize, to talk. We might give an older adult something to look forward to, especially if maybe they're a bit more isolated, don't have much of a social circle.
Can we circle back for a second to the elder abuse issue? Mm-hmm. We talked about what it is, but can you talk about what interventions you employ at Jewish Family Services?
Yes. So one of the services that we offer are EMDTs. You're probably wondering, what the heck is an EMDT? I know that's what I was asking when I first started in the role. So an EMDT stands for Enhanced Multidisciplinary Team. And what it is it's a task force of all different kinds of professionals who meet to discuss and intervene in cases of elder abuse and financial exploitation. So what we do at JFS is we coordinate and facilitate these task forces in five different counties, Ulster being one of them. On the EMDTs, the agencies will be law enforcement, so local police departments, the county sheriff, we'll have the district attorney, we have adult protective services from DSS, Department of Social Services, we have Office for the Aging, we have financial institutions, other community service organizations, basically any organization that might have contact with older adults. So we meet to intervene and discuss cases of elder abuse and financial exploitation. And one of the great resources that we have as part of our funding for these EMDTs is we have access to specialty services, which include a forensic accountant, geriatric psychiatrist, and a civil attorney. Other organizations who are on our EMDTs, they might not have room in their budget for these specialty services. So we provide that for no cost.
What a great resource. Oh, my gosh.
It absolutely sounds wonderful. And certainly we need to spread the word about what you're doing for the community and, you know, and working with and helping to support the work of county agencies. You know, we all have the same mission and how we can mobilize and work together and exponentially increase the impact that we may have individually, I think is just such an important way to look at how we work together and share our mission.
Before we run out of time, Jason and Nicholas, can you tell our listeners how they can contact you for more information, whether they on anything we discussed today, or even perhaps if others want to volunteer or donate, where do they go to get that information to contact you?
Sure. So all of our information is on our website, jfsulster.org. We have a Facebook page, or I can provide a phone contact number to reach us directly, and we can certainly coordinate, certainly handle it there.
We learned so much doing this program about great organizations in our community, and what a great asset. I mean, who knew that this was there? And you know, we're very, very grateful for the work that you and your colleagues do.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much. And that's about all the time we have. So Thanks again. And you're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.